I'm Amy, your host of Mother Lessons. I'm a postpartum doula supporting women through the transition into motherhood and after through emotional and physical support. Mothers need other mothers, and through this podcast we can connect and support each other. Mother Lessons was inspired by the word matrescence. The word was coined in the 70s by anthropologist Dana Raphael. It is the transition period of becoming a mother. Similar to a child becoming a teenager through adolescence, our hormones go wild, our hair and skin change, we learn a whole new dynamic to our bodies and our relationships around us. This podcast is for mothers and mothers-to-be. It's here to support mothers in this massive transition and identity shift, which can happen over many years. We will explore all things mothering ourselves and our children, because mothering ourselves is the first step. Okay, I first heard of Anya when she did a takeover on Rachel Hollinger's Instagram, Nourish Her. I wish I had found her before I gave birth, as Juniper had a lot of reflux, and the whole subject of reflux and colic was confusing to me, and there were so many opinions. Anya, aka the Baby Reflux Lady on Instagram, breaks things down simply and has many tools for parents to assess their babies and do something about it, bringing the power back into the mother's hands on a topic that can bring a lot of grief, exhaustion, and worry to parents. So welcome, Anya, to the Mother Lessons podcast. I'm so happy that you've come on.
Amy, thank you. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And thank you for inviting me. I am incredibly passionate about reaching mums who are struggling. You mentioned there that you had reflux. When I went through it twice, there was nobody like me. There was nobody providing clear information, clear answers, and I was left feeling confused. I was completely overwhelmed. I had no idea who to turn to or what to even think next. Within weeks, I completely lost all of my own confidence in myself as a parent. And that really isn't where any mum should be, because even though it's a new skill and parenting is something to learn, we have some innate instincts, as I'm sure you will know, and things like understanding your child. I guarantee you, if you're a mom, you understand your baby more than anybody else in the world. You understand that child from the moment they are born. And that's one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves. So yeah, one of my jobs is, you know, the baby reflux lady. I'm not the only one now. I'm training more, which is amazing. There's a team of us. The team of us, because what we understand about reflux is that it's actually a symptom, not a disease. And when we look at it through a different lens, we're then able to look at what else goes on with it and figure out what causes it. And when we then go back and understand what causes it, we stand a much greater chance of completely resolving it. And I do use the word resolve instead of cure. I don't like the word cure reflux because it's not a disease.
Yeah.
You know, there is no underlying pathology of its own right, in the same way that something like a cold has a virus that causes it.
Yeah.
Reflux doesn't have one thing that causes it. It has maybe, we've come up with, I think it's about 20 different things that could cause or contribute to reflux.
Yeah.
And this is why the one size fits all approach doesn't work, and why somebody says, oh, I tried an osteopath, try that. Or I tried change my milk, go for that brand. Try this medication, try that medication. I want to step away from a world where we try, and just look at every child as an individual, figure out what's going on for them, and then go, based on what's going on for your child, that's the next step.
I love that so much. It's such a holistic way of looking at a child. And you're completely right. Nothing is ever one size fits all. We're human beings and we're all biodiverse and we all have different needs. So I'm really aligned with that. So how did you actually get to this work? And how did you come up with those 20 things? Like what was your journey to that?
Well, my journey, I mean, I'm a bit woo. I'm starting to share that with my followers.
Oh,
a bit.
Do it, definitely.
I love the woo. And I learned that my entire journey, like everything in life, I actually had a tongue tie. I still have a tongue tie of my own right. So that caused things in my infancy which formed that relationship with my mom, like all of these things I've been learning. So I was always looking for things. Then I studied engineering, mechanical manufacturing engineering of all things, graduated from that in, 2003, quite a while ago. I then studied traditional Chinese medicine, another kind of, well, they don't seem linked. And I worked in blue chip industry as a very specific pattern, like a data analysis guru on problem fixing. Like I used to fix really big industrial corporate problems. Like the biggest one, most famous one I've probably ever worked on was turning around the aircraft carrier build in the UK. Wow. And what we used to do was look at what's causing this problem. And the nature of engineering brains and the nature of traditional Chinese medicine is that there is always a cause. We just need to look for the right, you know, figure it out. Look at how everything is interlinked. And when you find that cause, you solve something as close to the root cause as possible. It's not always possible to go back to the root cause, but you can see a cascade of benefits when you solve something in the right place.
Absolutely.
So when I became a mum, life fell apart, basically. It was 2013. I had every intention of setting up my acupuncture business and going, quitting my corporate job while I was on maternity leave. You know, she was going to be sleeping 8 hours a night by the time she was 12 weeks old. She was going to be well behaved. I'd have like 2 hour naps where I could squeeze in a few clients. I'd have a routine, and none of that happened.
Yeah.
I was lucky if she was sleeping 8 hours in total in 24. And again, being an engineer, I tracked everything. Like I had an app for everything. So I can look back. And when I used to tell people that my baby was sleeping 8 hours a day, they're like, no, she's a baby. She's sleeping 60. And I'm like, but she isn't. And again, these things undermine my self-confidence as a mom. Anyway, it was in July of 2013. I don't know, maybe page 17 of Google results or something. I clicked on a page that finally described my baby to a T. And I came up with the words of silent reflux. Now, I had never contemplated reflux. It never crossed my mind. Nobody had ever proposed that to me in 5.5 months. And I'd never even heard of silent reflux. And for any listeners, that is when a baby has reflux. So they're regurgitating with their stomach into their esophagus, but there's no vomit with it. They still get all the pain and potential damage to the esophagus and discomfort that goes with it. And we look at it and address it the very same way by understanding what's going on.
And does it look the same? Does it present in the same way? Apart from
the vomiting, it does. Yeah. Okay. And it might be that babies are they might posset a lot. But if they're uncomfortable, then we should do with it. I mean, there is this understanding that possetting is normal. If possetting is bringing up stomach acid and it's causing pain and irritation to the esophagus, then it's not normal. Or the action of it might be normal, but the pain that goes with it is not normal.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to have stomach acid in our esophagus. And then, so I was desperate for answers. I discovered my daughter actually had cow's milk protein allergy in August of that year. I cut out dairy. I had also, part of my journey, I had worked with a naturopath in Ireland who changed my life and my approach to food and my own health. And it finally kicked in. It's like her body is not the same as mine. She's smaller in every way, shape, and form. She's less mature. She's not walking. So therefore, can she actually digest these foods? That was the key and underpins like everything. So we see two sections of babies. You see babies who have who are predominantly taking on air, which is causing their reflux. And then we have another set of babies who have a naturally immature digestive system. And these things, and of course they overlap as well. And the maturity of a baby's digestive system impacts how they digest their food and what irritation it causes to them.
And so when you say that, could I just ask you, when you say that, are you talking about the mother's milk and what she's eaten at that point?
Yeah. And I mean, it gets quite rather complex when you're talking about breastfeeding mums, because we have how mum eats, what her digestive enzymes look like, what her gut microbiome looks like, what her intestinal health is, for example, if she's got leaky gut, then what gets into her milk, and then looking at her child's natural digestive maturity and what they can actually digest from the milk.
Mm.
So we've, you know, I've got a masterclass on breastfeeding babies with reflux and allergies alone to understand. We don't need to understand all of the pieces, but if we can, if we understand the flow, we look at what goes in and what comes out, and then we can tailor it accordingly. And it was a friend of mine. So my second daughter then had a tongue tie. So while I had an amazing diet, she still had reflux, and I couldn't figure that one out until she was, I think she was 3 months old when we got her tongue tie cut the second time. And I can tell any mother out there who is contemplating tongue tie release, absolutely go for it. It is the most amazing gift you can give your child. If it needs to be done a second or a third time, I will reassure you to get it done if it needs to be done, because it is much more emotionally painful for mother than it is for baby. And that's having been to it through it a second time with my own daughter. And a friend of mine said to me, like, we were having a conversation about sleep. She's a friend now. She was my sleep consultant at the time. She's like, you know so much about this. And I'll never forget the conversation. She just said, you should write a book. And I'm going, that's an interesting idea. And that sort of started to play on me. And I was not enjoying my corporate life. I didn't like being in London again, away from the kids. I was like, maybe I should write a book. Maybe I should. So I said I'd do another ditch effort to get my acupuncture business up and going. And turned out that actually there was a much, much bigger calling to get what I had learned about reflux out in the world.
Amazing.
And so I became the baby reflux lady and wrote a book about it.
Love it. So you actually, that was your first step. You wrote a book about it.
And
then sort of came out into the world with the book. Wow.
Virtually. And I was in secret planning this book and writing this book, and I was working with an amazing woman and coach and mentor who's a wonderful friend who I work with regularly still, and she's like, you just need clients. I'm like, but I don't have a book yet. She goes, you don't need a book to have clients, just get clients. So actually I started working with clients while the book was being published, essentially. Incredible. Going through all the editing back end stuff, and it was just like to serve families where parents, I mean, I remember the first child I ever worked with, and within 4 days his mum rang me going, oh, like, this little boy was 9 months old.
Yeah.
And we took a complete change to his diet, and 3 days later she's like, I've got a different child.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's like, what do we do? She goes, we were working together for 4 weeks at the time. She's like, I didn't expect to see changes. I'm like, well, when we provide the right conditions for our children, you know, change happens really, really fast.
Yeah.
And it's so rewarding. It really is.
I first want to just acknowledge that how incredibly inspiring it is that you became a mum and you just made all these changes and found your calling within that period of time. And I feel like that happens, it's quite unrelated to what we're talking about, but I feel like that really happens with motherhood. It just ignites this creativity. And if we have the energy and the courage to follow that, so much magic can happen. And I love hearing your story, because it just sounds like you did a flip 180, 360, and you were on your path. And it's so inspiring, because you're obviously like changing lots of people's lives right now. So amazing that you did that.
Thank you. And I will add to that both of my children know that they gave me this gift. They are the reason that I have this life and that I'm able to provide from them, from working from home or working in the garden, or, you know, and we're very, as a family, we just tune into the gratitude of that all the time, because it's like, are you helping another baby with reflux this morning? And this was before I came here. It's like, no, I'm actually going to talk to a lady called Amy, who has a podcast, who's like a radio show, and it goes out to lots and lots of people who need this help. And they're like, oh, that's cool. And it's like, it's amazing, because they are my journey. You know, they're the reason I do this work. They've brought my calling to me, and it is massively powerful. And I know so many women who have created the most incredible businesses.
Yeah, it shifts so
much. Sparked by motherhood. Yeah.
You have to just go on your heart path when you become a mother.
So
could you just talk about colic and reflux, and like the is it linked? Is it, you know, it's quite confusing. Could you just talk a little bit about both of them?
Yeah, well, colic, so the official definition still stands that colic is a baby who cries inconsolably for 3 hours or more, 3 times a week or more, for 3 weeks or more. And they say it's unexplained crying. No crying in a baby is ever unexplained.
Yeah.
It might be that baby needs a hug. They might need some sleep. They might be hungry. They might need their toe tickled. They might be in pain. There are lots of reasons, and we must, and I know, Amy, you understand this so deeply, but a child is just using their cry to communicate with us.
Yeah.
And they have different levels of crying, and lots and lots and lots of other amazing women have done analysis on what babies' cries are telling us. I will say that the shrill scream of a baby in pain is unmistakable to a mother. So if you hear a cry and you think your baby is in pain with it, then they probably are. It's, you know, trust yourself. Typically with babies with colic, we're looking at immature digestion. And some babies, their digestive system will mature a level by that magical 12 weeks, and therefore they're able to carry on with life and they seem to grow out of it. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't like the phrase growing out of things. Actually, their body is just maturing on its natural path. So colic is 99 times digestive maturity and an inability for their body to break down fully what they're eating. So it might be something that mum's eating if she's breastfeeding, or it can be ingredients in the formula milk itself. And of course, every single brand of formula is different, and even within brands. For example, if you were to take a powder version of one milk and the very same brand, same labeling, same packaging, but the ready-made formula, they are not the same in the ingredients when you actually compare them. So, and I have had clients who were using ready-made formulas, and I said, you need to switch to the powder. Instant change.
Right. Okay. Like, and do you recommend brands, or do you recommend that women just try the different ones?
Because everyone do recommend. I do recommend brands. I go for organic milks.
Yeah.
As long as baby hasn't got a dairy allergy, the easiest for them to digest is HIP Organic First Combiotic Milk. And they don't need to come off that until they're 12 months. Ignore the stage 2 milks and things like that. That's the easiest one for babies to digest. And then if we're looking at goat's milk, the two better goat's milk are the Nanny Care and Cabrita.
Okay, that's great for everyone to hear that. Yeah.
It's just paying attention. What are the slightly easier ones to digest? And then when it comes to specialist milks, the amino acid milks, I skip all of the hydrolyzed milks because they are still dairy content. If baby's truly dairy allergy, they actually need a dairy-free milk. So we're looking at something like either Neocate LCP or SMA Alfamino.
Okay, I'll try and link all of those below.
Yeah, they're all the sort of my personally preferred brands. I get no endorsement from any of these companies whatsoever. Yeah. And then mums, as breastfeeding mums, have 100% control on their diet and therefore 100% control on the ingredients in their milk. So actually breast milk, it's another one of the benefits of breast milk is that we can control the ingredients. We can't change the ingredients that's in formula milk. And I have had some clients whose babies never got on with the milks completely, but had stopped breastfeeding before we met. And they came to the stage of going, well, they had to put up with a level of pain until baby was onto solids and better milks, which were just, you know, just goat's milk or just cow's milk without any of the additives and things in them.
So going back to the mother's, the mother controlling her diet to help her baby, that seems like an overwhelming sort of mission to go through. And where does a mother start with that if she has no idea what to cut out or what to do? Would you recommend seeing a baby reflux lady? Or are there ways that mothers can assess their babies and kind of do it on their own?
Yeah, I mean, that's an absolutely brilliant question, because the first thing I say is that no mom should ever do any sort of food elimination diet until you know that it's 99% the thing to do.
Yeah, and especially in the early phases where they need to be nourishing their bodies. They've just gone through pregnancy and birth and all that. So yeah, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. So there is sort of, so one thing to reduce potential issues is for anybody who's pregnant, is from week 37, no, week 35, cut out dairy. just because it stays in the system for so long. It's a complex sugar and a complex protein. It's really difficult to break down. And if you can cut out dairy for a few weeks, baby's born, you can then, when baby's born, your colostrum is dairy-free, your breast milk is completely dairy-free, then go and have your favorite piece of dairy, whether it's, you know, some butter on a slice of toast or a hot chocolate or something. Mm-hmm. Have a piece of dairy and then observe, is there a marked change and discomfort in your baby?
That is a really interesting way of doing it. Yeah, and that's not even that long, you know, 3 weeks.
No, and I say week 35 because if baby is born at 37 okay. weeks on term, you've had 2 weeks where your milk is completely clear of everything. Yes, baby might not be born until 42 weeks. Yeah. And I think as mums, we get a sense of this. So that's if you're being really strict. It's just to get dairy proteins out of the system. It makes it a bit easier. They are really, really, really complex for little okay, ones.
So that's number one culprit.
Yeah. So anything else, I suggest all parents go through understanding what is the cause of baby's reflux first.
Yeah.
If it turns out to be that it shows up that it's gut immaturity, and we can see this in symptoms. I look at over 80 different symptoms and behaviors for every child.
Wow. Okay.
In order to see, and this is where we need to be going, in order to see exactly what's going on for that yeah. child, we need to look at some pregnancy issues that mom may or may not have had. We need to look at birth itself and whether there was birth trauma or assistance and things like that in birth. And then taking into account all of the symptoms baby is displaying and their behaviors and when they cry and patterns and then they're crying. All of this gives us the answer. It's a bit like playing Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
But think of, you know, everybody who's listening is, you're like the Watsons. You've got all the information. And then your baby reflux lady is your Sherlock Holmes. And when you put your heads together, you get the answer.
Yeah. You know?
And
yeah.
this is always all of my work and all of the ladies I've trained. We all work with our clients.
Okay. Yeah.
We know about reflux. Every mother knows about their child. And it's that combination when we come together, we go bang. And that's when you get sparks and we get results. But the first answer for breastfeeding mums is understand if it is dietary related, first of all. And then I have an approach which isn't, I don't recommend just starting with the top 10 allergens because you're not going to get complete resolution with that. Mm-hmm. I start off, I've written it's in the book, but I've also got masterclass, which is updated. It's 2 years more information in it. Amazing. And I've broken out sort of stage one foods, which is 2 A4 pages of food. If you stick to those 2 pages of food for 3 days, you will know whether it is worth continuing or not.
Right. Okay. So you see the results within 3 days.
Yeah. You won't get 100% results, but you will get 50 to 60% improvement. Yeah. You will know whether it is worth continuing on or not. It just breaks my heart when I get mums coming to me going, well, I've been on the TED diet and I've been on this diet and I haven't been eating this, this, and this, and this, and this for so long. And where is it coming from? And the truth is actually no other elimination diet for breastfeeding mums on the planet takes into account the natural digestive maturity of baby's digestive system.
Yeah.
And that, as I said, this is research published by the World Health Organization back in 1989.
Yeah.
Now, this is readily available information, but nobody else is using it and is paying attention to it. And that is the basis of everything I do around food and weaning and breastfeeding mum's diet.
Yeah.
It's not about restriction because I know myself, I tried, you know, when we discovered cow's milk made an improvement. I tried being vegan, being a carnivore, doing SCD, doing Whole30, being keto, Weight Watchers, Slim World. I tried every single way of eating.
Mm.
Nothing gave me consistent results.
Yeah. And that was because how did all those diets make you feel as well? You know, because it's such a yo-yo emotional roller coaster as well, isn't it?
And it gets harder when you're not getting the results.
Yeah.
When you get the results, it is so much easier to go, oh my goodness, my baby's sleeping, I'm sleeping. You know, with those things coming into play, you're like, okay, well, now I can easily say no to the chocolate today because that one's got soy lecithin and we don't want soy in my diet. Fine, I can go and get the raw version of chocolate over here, which is made with honey and things like that. So yeah, there are ways and yeah, I just want to be supportive of mums who choose to breastfeed.
Yeah.
It can be really difficult, especially when people are saying, well, your milk doesn't, what you eat doesn't affect your diet. It 100% does. And the Lesh League published that research a long time ago as well. And when it goes to research information, the Lesh League are, you know, breastfeeding is their thing.
I wanted to ask, when you were talking about interventions affecting reflux and colic and things like that, what kind of interventions? I can imagine that if the baby and the mother had to take antibiotics, that would probably affect reflux, would it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Stomach.
We are talking about any birth that isn't textbook easy. So if mom doesn't come out and go, wow, that was actually awesome, then there could be potential trauma in there that can be causing an issue to baby.
And is that stress, or is it all the different drugs and all the different procedures?
Could be any different things. Yeah. So we get drugs and things can have an impact on the digestive system. Physical trauma can affect the shape of the head and therefore the ability of baby to drink properly. We can have position in utero, like things like intervention go back to third trimester. So an ECV, if that's attempt to try and turn a breech baby, just because the obstetrician might twist baby, that they don't know what pressure they're putting on baby truly. Ventouse and forceps, of course, which cause physical squeezing to the head, and whether the cranial bones actually go back into their perfect naturally aligned position quickly after birth or not. Moms have been induced, baby is squeezed harder than they otherwise would have been, so that can cause an issue. It doesn't, so I will say about these, they don't all definitely cause an issue. We need to look at what happens in conjunction with everything that baby is displaying as well. Mm-hmm. You know, because you could have a baby who was born with forceps help and yet doesn't have any signs of that sort of trauma in the reflux. It's all generated from a digestive maturity issue. So addressing the forceps thing was actually, their body has probably gone back to its own balance. So we need to look at the whole picture. But other things, we've got induction. We've got very fast labor can cause shock.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just because, you know, and again, sections can cause shock to baby just from the knowledge of baby is all nice and cozy in the womb. And then through labor, their body is getting signals of all this is going to change, prepare for change. And we tend to ignore a lot of psychological stuff. Just because babies don't think in words doesn't mean they don't think and that they don't feel. They absolutely do. But imagine just being coming out into the cold, the brightness, the sounds, the sensations, the stimulation. If you know yourself, if you ever look around suddenly, you can go, ooh, you can actually catch your back and be left in physical pain for a week going, oh, I twisted, I just caught it.
Yeah.
That very same mechanism can happen to baby. It's just a shock going, whoa, they can move. And all of a sudden they'll find that they've got tension in the back of their neck or something. So we have to look at all of these things, like particularly long labor, you know, where labor goes on for days. Again, baby is under a lot of pressure with that ongoing contractions, just as mom's body is in severe exhaustion by the time she gets to the end of it. So it's all about being really cognizant of what's going on and that everything forms part of our journey. Like my traditional Chinese medicine training, one the basic principle is that you are today the sum of everything that has happened in your life. You know, and I tell the story of my mom back in the 1980s, small car crash, got whiplash, but never had it addressed at the time. So now in her 70s, she's begging to go back to her physio because she can't turn her head properly on one side. And that is because the whiplash never got released. Then that stress and strain and shock comes into the neck, didn't get released 30 years ago. So
builds and builds and builds.
Yeah. And so for a baby, their life began in utero.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to continue to be aware of these things when we're talking about them and treating them as a whole little human being with a lifetime of experience already.
Yeah, No, definitely, I agree with that. So if a parent, a new parent, has just had a baby and they don't know what's normal and what's not, and they're just getting to know their intuition, what are the signs that they should be looking for to start addressing something?
Okay, biggest things they need to be looking at is if breastfeeding is painful. And I know everyone's told it's painful at the beginning, actually shouldn't be painful. There's an element of nipples getting used to feeding, but it shouldn't continue and be excruciatingly painful. If your baby cannot lie down or doesn't want to stay lying down on the flat of their back for more than 2 or 3 minutes. This was my daughter. We didn't get our diagnosis till she was 5.5 months old. From the moment she was born, she would not be horizontal. Like, absolutely no way. So if baby's not happy being horizontal, there is something going on. The other things, because there's so varied, not every baby is going to present with these.
Yeah.
So it's actually listening to yourself as a mum. Is it the nice cries of a newborn, even through your exhausted mind? Or does it feel like it's too difficult to console them? So if a baby, if they calm down relatively easy when they're in your arms, they may or may not have reflux. But if they're in your arms and you cannot console them, and, you know, the word colic is coming into your mind, you don't have to wait for 3 months or 12 weeks or till tomorrow. You can start going, actually, okay, so why are they crying?
Yeah.
Why are they really unhappy? And my daughter's like, I mean, lots of mums will know that you can get absolutely amazing legs because babies seem to like squats.
Definitely.
and they have to be done properly. I remember trying to do gentle squats and my daughter's like, no. I'm going to scream when you go down. It's like, oh, that hurts. Yeah. So when baby has a very, very specific move that they need to be comfortable, that's telling you it's addressing some very specific motion for them. And therefore there's probably something else that's going on. And a lot of people message me to say, because I have a symptoms track at the beginning of this process that's available for free so people can see what's going on. The number of messages I get from parents that go, I didn't realize these were linked to reflux. And so people go, well, how do I know if my baby has reflux or not? And I kind of go, look, get the symptoms tracker. If your baby has 4 or more of the symptoms or behaviors on it, and they seem particularly unsettled to you, not to a doctor, not to a midwife, not to somebody else, to you as their mom or dad, then it may not be official reflux, but there is something we can do to help them be more comfortable.
So at that point, would you suggest working with somebody and get the tracker and then suggest working with somebody? And my next question would be, do your baby reflux ladies work online? Can someone get an online session with you with their baby?
Yes, absolutely. So all of us work online and we equally have, so online work, you're getting us, you're getting our brains and your baby. There is also an online version of the course, which is working through the symptoms. So you get the tracker at the beginning. You can also fill in an online version of that and get it copied to you. But then there's a 40-minute workshop where I blitz through, these are symptoms. If it's these symptoms and these ones, we're looking at this, and that's the answer. If it's this group and these ones, where do we need to go next? Sort of explaining rather quickly where we want to go. But the goal is to get people to a place where they understand what's going on for their baby as quickly as possible. Yeah. So that's available. And then we've got about 6 hours of bonus content in that workshop. And that's so not every parent will need all of it.
Yeah, and they might not. But it might be overwhelming to sort of go through 6 hours,
So there's half an hour of ways to reduce air intake, take very specifically. An hour on general coping strategies. So if you Google reflux, and it's the one thing that you'll never find on my website, is try these 10 things for reflux, or try these 15, or these are the three things you need to try for reflux. I will never say them. Because, for example, if you get a baby who has an allergy, like a cow's milk protein allergy, their body is vomiting violently because it doesn't want that food in there. It's a protection mechanism. It doesn't matter if you lie them horizontal or if you keep them upright all the time. their body is going to get rid of that milk. So raising the cost is going to do absolutely nothing for them.
Exactly.
So I don't want parents to waste their time going through lists, going, I need to try that one. I want them to go, they use these workshops and watch them for an hour. So first of all, before they watch them, they know whether they need to or not. So managing parents' time. And then it's about understanding, well, okay, my baby has got, you know, birth trauma or something. So we're looking at these particular things, the coping strategies, and they go, that's not going to work. Oh, that one will. And then they get maybe four or five things to try instead of a list of 15. So there's that. Then there's sleep tips for little ones. There's things to do for tongue tie, exercises before tongue tie release, after tongue tie release. What else have we got in there? We've got sleep tips for parents. Tips for parents.
All right, okay.
So when you're not getting a lot of it, how do you improve the quality of it? That was a game changer for us actually here.
Wow, so just so to much more than reflux.
Yeah, because the whole family is affected by reflux. Yeah. The whole family really is. And quality of life and everything. So anything I can do to help parents is I give as much as I can. And there's also a session on probiotics and how and when to use them appropriately for babies. And another session on baby's gut microbiome. I get so many parents going, oh my goodness, I'm afraid that I've screwed up my baby's health because of I didn't do probiotics or I didn't do this. We got 3 years to form a blueprint for baby's gut microbiome. So take a deep breath and calm down. It's all changeable. And even after three, we can change our gut microbiome in our life. It's more difficult to do after the age of three because we form patterns with our foods, but actually we can totally do it. I've done it myself numerous times. I've gone from being a sugar addict to completely sugar-free for years and sugar addict and completely sugar-free for years. Every time I do that, my gut microbiome changes.
Definitely amazing. So I loved all the information you've given. You've given so much information. You're so good at talking about it, very articulate about your subjects. Where can people find you if they want a session with you, if they want to buy your book? Can you just go through in your courses and all that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And for all the people that you've trained as well.
Yes, of course. So you will find me and all the people I've trained on thebabyrefluxlady.co.uk.
Okay.
We're all there. There's a find a practitioner page if you want to find a local one. It's all on the same page. So if you want to have an e-course version, you can have that. So the workshop link is there. There's a weaning course, which is about how we introduce food to babies who have naturally immature digestive systems. Because lots of parents will find that, So if your baby has started solids, and all of a sudden they are moving all over the cot. They don't sleep soundly anymore. They sort of run laps of the cot, or they're not sleeping. They're waking more frequently than they used to. That's very often, if that starts within 3 or 4 weeks of solids, it's very often the solids that are causing it. And that's another sign that their body isn't fully able to digest the foods they're eating. So, and that affects 54% of babies with reflux get worse with solids. So I've got this approach to solids that minimizes that completely. That is an online course for 6 weeks. It talks about things like histamine sensitivity, SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. We look at the impact of medication, reflux medications on the digestive system, and how to understand what your baby's symptoms are in relation to what's going on for them. Plus, equally, 6 weeks of meal plans and suggested foods and how to do this yourself and get back your confidence in parenting so that weaning is fun. And that the biggest worry for parents is actually the mess they've got to clean up afterwards, because that's where we should be. And there's another course which is basically, it's the same content as the weaning course, but it's for babies already established on solids who we need to change things for them. So they have been worse, they're not sleeping well, and this is right up to 2, 2.5 years old that this will help. Again, how do we change solids? So in the weaning course, we're starting at one food at a time. When we're changing things, we don't want to go back to zero. We just need to do bigger changes and manage what's going on. So they're the e-courses. There is the book, The Baby Reflux Lady Survival Guide. And that's available pretty much globally. Amazon have it, other retailers have it. It's on all of the ebook platforms, Kindle, Kobo, Apple Books and whatever. So if you search for Baby Reflux Lady, you'll find it. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook on it every day. And if you search for Baby Reflux Lady, you'll get me. It's brilliant. Rather simple. So yeah.
And do people get a Facebook community group or anything like that when they join the groups, the courses?
Yeah. So any of the courses, we have a support group.
That's amazing because that's invaluable, yeah. I think.
It is. It is.
Get advice from each other. That's great. I feel like we've got so much information and it just is so empowering for mothers to have the information and they can then choose what to do with it. And exactly. Just to have that contact, you know, just to know, okay, I'm pregnant now. I know that this could be a big, reality for me. So I've got your number now, you know, and it's just so empowering to have all these contacts because you don't have to use them, but it's just to equip
to know where to go. Absolutely.
Exactly. So fantastic. I've just got three. Do you have anything else that you want to say about your subject reflux before we go? Before I ask you those questions.
No, because I covered off in the three questions, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, good. So I asked this to all my guests. First of all, how many children do you have and how did you experience the identity shift from maiden to mother?
Yeah, so I've got two. They are 7.5 and 5.5, two girls. They're my absolute world. I didn't think they would be. I was not a maternal person. Even to this day, I generally dislike children as long as they're not my own. I like to be able to hand them back. The shift from maiden to motherhood was, because of the reflux, it was more than I ever could have imagined. I ended up with postnatal depression for 3 years because of how I doubted myself, the lack of support from those I asked around me, the doctors, the midwives, friends of who had babies, the random lady at the checkout store in Sainsbury's who would belittle my lack of sleep, going, oh, she sleep more. So it was a shock to the system. Mm. And I did question myself of whether we had made the right decision or whether I was actually supposed to be a mum.
Wow.
And hence my work is all about redressing that because it doesn't have to be as hard as society tells it is sometimes.
100%. And I think, yeah, your intention and motivation for your work is just, you can see it because you've gone through it and you want to change other mothers' life and it can completely change your relationship with your child and the way you relate to yourself as this new identity of a mother. And it's just, yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. And, you know, we shouldn't be bringing up our children in these little unit homes anyway. And now we just need to figure out how can we bring that village in through bringing in paid support, bringing in, you know, unpaid support as well. But it's just so important.
Yes, getting that community. And I didn't know that my children had reflux because it was never mentioned. I didn't think to look for it. I didn't know that there was Facebook groups for support of other people going through stuff. Because I didn't know I was looking for this sort of help or support. And I will be honest that I lost my entire identity through my postnatal depression. I did not know who I was other than a grown-up dummy, basically, and provider of food. And that's when, like, my definition of my new identity came from the decision to write my book.
Wow.
You know, to actually use what I had learned to change the world. I'm not going to be small about it. I have dreams to change the world.
Amazing. And you are.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. So honestly, what three books would you recommend a mother read either before she becomes a mother or already a mother?
I will say for breastfeeding mums, this one, which is the Womanly Art of Breastfeeding by the Lalesh League.
Amazing.
It's an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
I do not suggest you read it or open it and start to go through it. Have it on hand and look at it before it. You know, get it if you're pregnant, get a copy from your local library, have a look through and see. There is so much information in it. because again, breastfeeding is one of these things we're expected to know how to do it. But yet, if you look at a baby doesn't know how to walk. They have to learn.
Yes.
So while our bodies are made to do it, we still have to learn how to do it. And it's a really, it's just a magical, magical book as a reference book, as this is going on, dive in. You know, you sort of come up with a question around breastfeeding, dive into the book. It's incredible. It's a powerhouse. Yeah. My second one, it is actually my own one.
Oh,
just yeah. Because there is, like, even if you start at the back, the last chapter is just stories from other mums who've had a bit of a shit time and have come through it on the other side.
So important to expand and, their brains and just,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And also to know that no matter what's going on, again, actually all the books I've picked are not start at the beginning and go through them. You know, you go to page 7, you open page 7, you start in this book, you read the description of what's going on for your child and you go to the right page. It's a reference book.
Yeah.
And there's a fabulous chapter in there from my husband. He wrote a chapter for dads. I wasn't allowed to edit it. So that's
amazing.
It's a really nice, yeah.
Great.
It's a beautiful chapter.
What does he go into in the chapter? Does he go into actually becoming a father and things, or is it more about the reflux?
No, it's about the reflux and the relationship between us.
Wow.
And how he felt. So he was very much pushed away by our daughters. They wanted mom. They know the smell of mom. So when they're screaming and he tries to help me by taking them, they scream even louder, which makes the reflux worse. Oh, the sun's done something really strange here right now.
Yeah, he's got a glow.
And it looks like it's evening. And then it massively affected the relationship between us. And he writes it from his perspective of being almost left out in the cold with no ability to help.
Mm.
Quite frankly, being emotionally abused by me because I was in such a place of desperation and exhaustion that I wasn't able to control any of my own emotions. And he got everything, you know, thrown at him. Full throttle when he came in the door in the evenings, and yet all he's trying to do is provide for his wife and his children, who at the time didn't want to know him. Thankfully, he has the most amazing relationship with them now. It's more of advice to say you can get through it, you know, but equally don't wait to just get through it.
Yeah,
go back and read the rest of the book and do something about it.
Incredible that you have put that section in. That's so valuable. And you know, can be a bit taboo talking about, you know, how relationships can fall apart when you have children. And it's so important to normalize that there's a massive shift and a massive dynamic shift. And if there's something thrown in like reflux, then it's going to affect things. And by reading your story, people are going to really feel less alone. So I think that's just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Have you got a third one?
I do. This one is for everybody. As with children get older as well, we started using it when our little one was about 12 months old. It's called Playful Parenting.
Who? Lawrence? Oh, okay.
Lawrence J. Cohen. It is a game changer for parenting. It's about teaching us as adults to play with our kids, to communicate with them. You know, figuring out, they don't understand the question, what's wrong, what's going on, what do you feel? They don't understand that. So it's about tools of get down and play with them and see what games they want to play and what stories are coming up with their games and going, okay, so there was a girl at school. It has been absolutely magical. And it's about, like, if your child is screaming and pushing you away, generally they actually want a hug and they want connection. They don't know how to ask for it. And again, that's a dip in and out. What's going on with my kid this week? Okay, right. They're telling me to go away with that, or they're using anger or whatever. It's just, again, a fabulous, fabulous book about connecting with your child on their level, because they are not at our level. Not yet. It's going to take them 40 years to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, play therapy. I'm 100% believer in it. And it is therapy for children. It's like them going to counseling. You know, when my daughter comes back from school, she struggles at school, and immediately she doesn't even say hello. She goes to her toys and she plays it all out.
Yes.
And all I have to do is listen, and watch her play, and I'll know what happened in her day. And then I might have to ask a couple of questions here and there, but it's just absolutely magical and incredible release for them. So, but I've not heard of that book, so I'm really excited about that.
It's a really, really powerful book.
Amazing. Oh, that's so great. Thank you for those. So what would your advice be, or wise words for a newborn mother after all the years of being a mother, be?
Trust yourself.
Yeah.
That's it. Trust yourself. You can go into the explanation, but as a mom, you already know pretty much everything you need to know. Mm. You can't, you know, I get lots of moms going, oh, I wish I found you. It's like, we find each other at the right point in time. You don't need to know about reflux unless it comes up for you, and then you can go and find the information. You don't need to know everything about, you know, how to get your child to sleep or what you're going to do for the first day of school until it gets close to the time of doing that and it becomes a reality. So don't try and overwhelm yourself at the beginning. But first of all, trust yourself 100% because you're the expert in your child.
Yes, 100%. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me. And it's been such a pleasure, and you're a fountain of knowledge. And
thank you, Amy.
So excited for people to hear this. It'll be very empowering. So thank you so much.
And thank you for having me. It's been a wonderful chat.
Okay. Have a lovely day, Anya.
I will do. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
It was such a pleasure to speak with Anya. I loved hearing of her vulnerable personal stories and all the amazing tips and facts and resources we all now have. I remember having the contacts of people within the birth and postpartum world was so comforting for me, just knowing that we have them to support us if we need it as a backup. And now you all have the wonderful Anyas for all things reflux. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the Mother Lessons podcast. It makes me so happy to release each episode, knowing it will be heard by mothers and mothers-to-be. Have a beautiful August. The next episode will come out in September. Have a lovely summer.